Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Privilege to be in DeQuincy, Louisiana, where God is doing some great things. I'm excited. I've never been here. Appreciate Brother and Sister Nealon allowing me to come and be in service with you. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see Brother and Sister Clifton Lejeune, Clifton and Paula Lejeune, and the wonderful family and friends to come be with us also in the house of the Lord. Louisiana is no strange place to me. I'm not going to take a long time. I've preached a lot down in Jennings. I've preached a lot in Lake Charles. I just preached in Shreveport for the first time this summer. My church almost looks identical to this in a lot of way. Brother McGee up there, and I preached for the first time and got introduced to that church just like this. And going to go back there and preach a couple weeks coming up in January. But anyhow, Louisiana has been good to me. I love Louisiana. Kind churches, worshiping churches, but more than that, the Holy Ghost and the pastors. Every pastor's wife, and I'm not trying to say this, and I'm going to shut up, in Louisiana that I have preached for, every pastor's wife gets in the front and worships God the whole service. Louisiana. You got to love Louisiana and the anointing of God that's in this place. Verse 24 says, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him unto the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. The socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. As he wrestled with him, he said, let me go, for the day breaks. We come to church, we sing, we worship, we feel the anointing of God. We worship, we see God do a lot of great things. I happened to be in Kinder, Louisiana this morning. I saw something exciting. Not that somebody got the Holy Ghost and got baptized, that's always exciting, but the fact that he was 64 years old and received the Holy Ghost and was baptized was an awesome thing. But in spite of all that, we still struggle when it comes to living for God. We worship, we sing. We had phenomenal singing here today. The anointing was strong throughout this service thus far. But in the midst of all that, many of us struggle with who we really are. We struggle with who we are and what we stand for and why do I do what I do. And I'm going to preach for just a few moments, if you'll bear with me, DeQuincy. And it's simply, why am I thus? Why am I thus? Let me ask you something. Who needs a blessing from God in this place? Hold up one hand. I don't care if you're a worshiper, you're barely here. I don't care. I'm not caught up in all that. You need God to answer prayer. Several people have their hands up. Let's lift our hands and ask the anointing of God. Lord, I'm not worthy to preach to these that have taken the time to come to the house of the Lord. You're a healer, a provider, a miracle worker. I'm asking you to pour out your spirit. Let healings move inside of this place. In Jesus' name I pray, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now I'm going to need something real quick from this good-looking church. I'm going to need two volunteers here in a minute, and all you're going to have to do is stand one on each side of me here in a second and look pretty. And I don't care if you're a man or woman, you're still going to look nice. Can I get two people that would volunteer to stand of adult age? Can I get just two people that would volunteer and one stand on each side of me and the other one? I'll just pick. Anybody want to do it or just want to pick somebody? Right there, this good-looking man here in the white shirt. Yeah, that would be you. But you don't come yet. I'll call you in a minute. And then this man right here, if that's all right, I'll pick you two. You guys come in a minute. You may be seated when I call you up here. One of you are going to stand on this side. You'll stand on this side. You're going to be Jacob, and the other one's going to stand on this side. You're going to be Israel. I get to the same person. We'll deal with that in a minute. We learn in Scripture over and over again that God is a covenant-keeping God. A covenant is a biblical terminology that God is a God of contracts. It has nothing to do with feelings, but it has everything to do with legalities. Over and over in the Bible, we see to it God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world. He is a covenant-keeping God whenever there is a contract and there is a dispute. It makes no difference how we feel about the dispute. You always refer back to the contract to determine the validity of the argument being brought forth. This is why, as Christians, even in 2018, who do not know his or her Bible will always be defeated, because when you approach God, you approach the covenant relationship that you possess with God. Over and over again, we read throughout the Old Testament, we read here them praying. When they prayed to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. They are simply saying through these three patriarchs that they are attaching themselves to a covenant relationship with God. I have no problem with them praying to the God of Abraham. Abraham was a great man. He had some weaknesses. Sure, he had some struggles, but overall, he earned the title of being a patriarch of faith. We look at his son Isaac, and we could see the same character. In spite of the fact that Isaac inherited some flaws, I would like to say that use the term generational curses that passed from Abraham to Isaac. In spite of all these flaws, Isaac was still blessed of praying and a godly man. He was used to redig the wells of his father and move in the supernatural blessings to God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. It's easy to walk in the house of God and pray to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. But the question that I bring to De Quincey on a Sunday night service, the last Sunday night you all be together in 2018, why do we pray to the God of Jacob? Because Jacob of these three was least likely to have a covenant with God. Because hear me, he did not reflect godly character of his father Isaac. He didn't have the faith of Abraham. Jacob was considered the black sheep of the family, least likely to succeed. He lived by his own wits and his own carnal disposition. But De Quincey, in spite of all that, he was elevated to the highest position of covenant bearer, through which Israel prayed that they might be in contact with God. God is trying to tell the church of 2018 that whatever God's reason for choosing us, it's not through the goodness of our own. God's blessed and you don't understand why. It's not by might nor by power, but my spirit saith. There are some Jacobs that have come to De Quincey, Louisiana, that are sitting in the house of God, that God wants to do something powerful in your life. But since the day you were born, the devil has tried to convince you that you would not amount to anything. Jacob's struggle didn't start in his childhood, but it started in his mother's womb. Jacob was in a fight. I can relate. I bet there's somebody here that can relate to what I'm talking about. Jacob was in a fight before he got here. There are people here today that were in a fight before you were born. You were not born into a peaceful, calm situation. You don't come from Mayberry and P and Andy, but you come from a furnace of infliction. You were born into a struggle. Before your mama gave birth to you, you were born into a struggle. You were on the hit list of hell because the devil was so intimidated by your destiny that he knew, De Quincey, if he gave you any fighting chance, you would put your foot on his neck, and he set you up from the beginning because he wants to weaken you, bruise you before you ever got started. I'm here to tell you, Jacob, you were in a fight before you were ever born. But I'm here to tell you, that's no reason to walk away and quit and say it's not worth fighting. You may have fought hell before you were born, but God said, I'm getting ready to make you Israel. I'm getting ready to take you to a level that you've never been before. There's an anointing in your life. Come on up here, you two good-looking men. Who's going to stand on this side? You're going to be Jacob. You're going to stand on this side. You're going to be Israel. And all you're going to do is stand there. Don't get any closer because you'll make me nervous. There you go. Jacob's mother carried twins in her womb, and she could not understand. You know, see, this is the first significant moment that I read in Scripture that were recorded twins in a biblical recording. But she asked a significant question. She said, why am I thus? Why do I have two nations warring inside of me? Why do I have two personalities fighting inside of me? I'm here to talk to somebody in this place. We love to shout, and you guys have phenomenal music. And that man over there is one of the best preachers in our movement. You have the best of the best. But in the midst of all of that,
In the midst of all of that, there are many people that have walked inside of here that you have two nations warring inside of you. You have your flesh, Jacob, the carnal disposition, your day-to-day activities, but you have your spiritual side, which is Israel, the chosen one, the one that comes and prays, the one that comes and worships, the one that comes and walks in the presence of the Holy Ghost, the one that lifts up their hands and cries out, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There is a battle going on inside of you between your spirit and your flesh. There is, oh, I'm going to preach a little bit. You're going to have struggles. Jacob was destined to be used of God. Listen to me, DeQuincy. We live in a world where we love these preachers. They call them prosperity preachers. No offense. They're lying to you. Because God didn't tell us that everything was going to be a bed of roses and you were going to constantly prosper, because Jacob was destined to be used just like us, but he had some struggles. He, through Esau's weakness and carnality, was able to receive a birthright he did not reserve in his calling that his character was not prepared for. He's holding a birthright that he's not ready to walk into. Through trickery, he received it. There are many people that walk in the house of God, and we can sing and we can worship and we can go through the motions and cry at the right times. But when things don't go our way, we take that Jacob, our flesh, and we try to con our way through God. We try to trick our way into the presence of God. We try to fool the man of God and walk in here like we have it all together. I'm here to tell you, I tried that when I first got in church. I never saw the power of God until I walked in the house of God and realized that I'm not going to fool God in the flesh. I have to get a little bit of dirt underneath my nails. I have to scuff up my knees a little bit. I have to cry out to God and let the devil know I may be Jacob in the flesh, but I am Israel in the spirit. DeQuincy, I'm an apostolic, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking child of God. I fight my flesh every day, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I may be under attack, I may fight hell, but you don't know like I know what the Lord. Jacob went through struggles. He received them. Listen to me. I love hype, but I'm not going to hype you tonight. Not when I've got these two great preachers sitting over here. Jacob went through a struggle. He received a birthright his character was not prepared for. His carnality stopped him from being able to receive it. His name literally means trickster, con artist, scam. These are not just words for people of the world. But they are words for people who have come into church, but the church has not come into them. They bring the ways of the world into the house of God. You're still the same person with a thin veneer of Christianity on the surface of your life. Church, the devil's not scared of a bunch of Jacobs that walk inside of here and clap their hands at the right time and sing at the right time and go through the motions. We got churches across this country. We are a dime a dozen. But if you want to make hell scare and scare off every demon, we need some Israels to walk inside. We need some Israels to walk inside of here and not say, not today, sweetheart, not tonight, sir, not tomorrow. DeQuincy, Louisiana is not your normal church, but we are an apostolic. We are a Holy Ghost filled. We are a tongue talking. We are praising. We are worshiping. You ain't seen us when we let loose.
How many of you are going through a struggle in your life? Hold up one hand. Be honest, all the way to the back, to the front. God has a call on your life. I had to learn this the hard way. He will wrestle you till he breaks you and changes you for his glory. Because Jacob comes to a time in his life where God begins to wrestle him down. The Bible says an angel begins to wrestle with Jacob till the breaking of the day. I've heard this preached 1,000,001 times, and I don't want to hear it 1,000,002 times. But hear me, the breaking of the day. I began to think that God's plan for this preacher's life is time sensitive. Time sensitive. We think we'll get ready when we want to get ready. But when God gets ready to break our flesh, things can get dark.
dark and gloomy around us. Hell can fall apart around us. Everything we can want to go wrong goes wrong. And we wonder why we're fighting sickness, struggles, and financial battles. And the escalation of the battle gets too big to understand. And sometimes we sit in a church chair and we blame the devil. Devil, why are you attacking me? I am tired of people walking into the church and blaming the devil for everything. He is not powerful enough to do everything. Do you maybe realize the reason that you're struggling and battling is because God knows your time on this earth is time sensitive, and he's trying to break you to teach you how to pray and to teach you how to worship and to teach you how to call on the name of Jesus? The tougher the battle, you should walk in the house of God and say, it may feel like hell around me, but my name is still Israel. I may be sick in my body, but my name is still Israel. I may be tired, but my name is Israel. I may have lost my job, but my name is Israel. I may have overdosed on drugs, but I can still lift up my hands and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Oh, somebody give him a hand clap. Somebody let the enemy know, I know God's getting ready. I'm battling between my flesh and my spirit. My flesh doesn't like it, but my spirit wants revival. My flesh wants to sit, but my spirit wants to pray. My flesh doesn't want to move, but my spirit says, I've come too far to turn back now. Is this okay, Pastor? Okay, I love it. I said, if you can preach at this church in Louisiana, if you can preach at these, you preach. I'm preaching for some good men right here. You don't know how honored I am to be standing in this pulpit. God will bring you to your knees. God knows how to drive you to seek his face. He will make you answer these questions, which we struggle. Who am I? What is my name? And why am I here? Hear me. God asked Jacob. He said, what is your name? Now, God knows what Jacob's name is. God asked me all the time, Charlie, what's your name? Well, my name is Charlie. I was raised in foster care. I was abused as a child. I was addicted to alcohol and drugs. We've all heard these sob stories because that was me. I've been through all sorts of hell in my life. I don't have a mom. Don't like Mother's Day. Don't like Father's Day. I've been all through sorts of poverty, depression. I could tell you sad stories so long you wouldn't want to hear them. God said, I don't want to know that because I already know it. What's your name? Will Trickster? Con artist? Be careful what you let people name you. We're so busy allowing one situation, Jaquincy, to define who we are. One failure to define who we are. Jacob should have told him, if you don't know who you are, don't tell him that you're a failure or a quitter. Just say, I don't know who I am. Stop labeling yourself by your mistakes and your struggles and your battles. I may battle with addictions, but I'm a child of God. I may battle with depression, but I'm a child of God. Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. Flesh, Satan, you cannot torment me anymore. Because when I get to praying and I get to worshiping and I get to calling on that name, I've got to... I have about 8 or 9 minutes, Pastor. He was a trickster. Thank you, Revs, and Revs, and Revs, and everybody's Revs. He was a trickster. He was a con artist. But it's not his fault. His mama was a trickster and a con artist and a racketeer. And if you don't like that, his mama's uncle was a trickster, a liar, and a con artist. Jacob was just acting like the rest of his family. So guess what, this old boy, I've struggled every day of my life till today. You're looking at a licensed United Pentecostal preacher, whip-dee-doo. I've had battles with depression. I have. I feel like I'm not good enough to be preaching in churches like this because I don't come from the right background. I'm just an old foster care boy, an old failure. But It's possible to do something and not be it. I may have come from a failing situation, but it doesn't mean that I'm a failure. Stop beating yourself up over the head. Stop telling yourself you're no good. Stop walking in here holding your head down. Don't let your Jacob get the best of you. Walk inside of here with your head held up and say, ha, 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 look what the Lord has done for me. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done, you can call me crazy, but you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. That's it, DeQuincy. Give him some praise. I've got Israel on the inside. I've got Israel on the outside. I've got power.
I don't mean to scare somebody. But God, no, I don't wake the sun up. Sleep on, little fella. God said, Jacob, your name is Israel. Not who people say you are. Not what your past says you are. You're a prince. But listen to me, all the way in the back, to the front, to the left, to the right. It's an alarming revelation for somebody that is struggling. Jacob wasn't struggling with God. I could preach about heaven and hell. I could preach about the beginning and the end. I could preach about repentance, baptism, Holy Ghost, and I probably wouldn't have any problems here tonight. Jacob wasn't struggling with God. Jacob was struggling with who he was. And that's what we are battling in the church today. God is trying to give somebody a revelation that, guess what? You need to know who you are and what you are. You're too busy thinking about what you don't have and start thinking about what you do have. I have a God that when I call on his name, every demon has to go. I have a God that when I call on his name, healings come. I have a God that when I... Don't sit there and let the devil beat you up. You walk inside here and say, you may attack my Jacob, but you can't stop my Israel. Because when I begin to pray, the power of...
Pastor, I got to hurry. God calls those things that are not as if they were. People operate in the senses, but God operates in the spiritual. Because I, not being raised around church, I've never have overcome completely that my mother gave me up for drugs and alcohol. I don't want sympathy. I don't mean that ugly. I don't want you to say, oh, how poor. You know, you're missing it. I never have totally overcome that my father, don't know who he is. Foster care, I had parents that would take me in. They would do things for money. I'm not here for sympathy. But in my senses, when I got the Holy Ghost and got baptized, all I could see was doom and gloom around me. All I could see is my struggles and that pretty little Pentecostal girl in the front row jumping, shouting. I thought, she can't relate to me because she's got a mama and a daddy living for God. But when God showed this numbskull of a preacher, it's not about what you can see in the senses. If you would start operating in the spiritual, I'll show you what I can do with somebody that stops walking in the house of God and saying, woe is me. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your bank account is. I don't care what your sickness is. I don't care what your battles are. If you would come in the house of God and call things into existence that you've not seen, I am healed, I am delivered, I am blessed, I am revived, I am changed, I receive a miracle. If you would call these, you gotta call it into existence. Today, my name is Israel. Today, I am blessed. Today, I am healed. Today, I am changed. Today, I am revived. Today, I'm...
Oh, somebody clap your hands. Come on.
He calls a poor man rich. He calls a prisoner free. He called a bondsman loose. Stop tormenting yourself. You've got power.
How many of you are going through a tough time now that you've heard me preach for about whatever minutes? Hold up your hand. You're going through a tough time in your life. Hold up your hand. Be honest. You're going through a struggle. Keep your hand high so I can see it. Unless you're going to have rotator cuff surgery. Keep it high. I'm looking across the sanctuary. There are several peoples. Listen, God encounters create spiritual trauma. Because when God speaks into a traumatic experience, let me tell you something. It's a traumatic experience. When in the spirit you have one name, and in the flesh you have another name. It's a battle. It's a battle. From the moment Jacob had this encounter to the moment draws his last breath, God continues to call him Jacob and Israel. One minute he calls him Israel, the next minute he calls him Jacob. You're never going to get complete victory over your flesh. You're always going to fight your flesh. But why in Scripture did God, when he changed his name to Israel, why don't we pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? Why don't we walk in here and lift up our hands and say, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, I need you. He never changed it. We still pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because God is not the God of our good times, but God is the God of our bad times. Don't sit there on a pew and feel like God doesn't see you in your darkest hours. You should walk in the house of God with a smile on your face and say, I may be down, but I'm not out. My name is still Israel because God sees me. God sees me when I'm sick. God sees me when I'm healthy. God sees me when I'm down. God sees me when I'm up. So every chance somebody lift your hands across this building. Somebody begin to call on the name of Jesus. Come on. I want somebody to begin to thank God for believing in me and my inconsistencies. Thank you, Lord, for being there for me in my struggles. Thank you, Lord, for being there in my burdens. Thank you, Lord, for being there in my failures. Thank you, Lord, for being there in my battles. Thank you, Lord, for being there in my darkest hour. I want a musician to get in place. In the Bible, it says they ran to Israel and cried upon him. And the next verse, it says, and Jacob spoke and said, I'm here to tell you, you're never going to completely get rid of your flesh. We are too busy walking in churches, and we think we can't live for God because we can't conquer our flesh. So what's the point of worshiping and going to an altar? Preacher, you don't know what's going on in my home. You don't know what's going on in my body. You don't know what's going on in my finances. You don't know me. But listen to me. God said he continued to call him Jacob, even when he called him Israel. In other words, you're going to have to carry your flesh with you the rest of your days. I'm here to tell somebody, I'm always going to be a foster care boy. I'm always never going to have a fleshly mother or a fleshly father. But I'm going to tell you this, I may carry my sadness at times. I may battle depression at times. But I'm also a God-fearing, Holy Ghost-filled child of God that when I get... I can lift up my hands and say, but my name is Israel. I'm not a failure. I'm not a foster boy. I'm not a runaway. I'm not a quitter. But I am a child of God. And last scripture, and I'm done preaching. It says in the Bible that Jacob was about to die. Oh, I'm a pastor. I feel like I'm in the Holy Ghost here. I want to be honest here. How many of you feel like giving up? Be honest. Don't hide into the Quincy. You feel like giving up sometimes. Hold up your hand across this place. Be honest. You feel like giving up. Keep your hands up. If this is you, I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to anybody. Keep your hand up. When I was about to go to Bible school,
There was a woman, there was two girls that won me to the Lord. One of them was killed in a car accident, and the other girl's mother did her best to get me out of church because she thought I wanted her daughter, and I was not good enough for her daughter because I wasn't a preacher. And she said, "Why would you go to Bible school? You're never going to amount to anything." Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you? I felt like giving up. Why would you bring me into a church 30 miles away from my home, fill me with the Holy Ghost, baptize me for all of this mess? I felt like calling it quits and saying, what's the purpose of living for God? I might as well quit and walk away. I might as well die. That's what Jacob felt like. But then he walked into a Sunday night service and he said, but I was about to die, but something came over him on a Sunday night service. And the Bible says that he sat up in his bed and he strengthened himself in the presence of the Lord. I'm preaching to somebody. You may have come in here feeling like giving up. You may have come in here feel like dying. But if you would walk in the house of God and say, I came in here one way, but I'm getting ready to leave another way. I came here a quitter, but I'm leaving here a praiser. I came here a failure, but I'm leaving here a worshiper. I came here ready to throw in the towel, but I'm leaving here. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm going to make an altar call in a minute. But before I do, it's going to take faith into Quincy. Who's going through a real tough time in your life? Hold up one hand right now. What's your name? Do you mind coming here to me? Jessica, you're not worried about what these other people think of you, are you? You've been through some tough times, haven't you? Ups and downs, struggles, depression. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Is this okay? Things that could have taken you out of this world that almost took your life. But you walked into the house of God in front of all of these church people and said, Lord, I'm here for a reason. And God sent this crazy preacher. I'm not going to call a bunch of people out, but God sent this crazy preacher to tell you that I'm going to grab you by your hand. And people may look at us like we're a little bit crazy, but I'm here to tell you, you may have walked and sat on that front row with Jacob wondering, God, why have you allowed me to go through what I've gone through? Why have you allowed me to fail like I have failed? Why have you allowed me to hurt like I have hurt? But listen to me, Jessica, there's going to come a day that you're going to walk inside of this house and you're going to be able to lift up your hands and you're going to call on the name of Jesus and you're going to say, I came in here ready to throw in the towel, but when I lift up my hands and begin to call on the name of Jesus, I've got a power called Israel that is so powerful inside of me. Loosen me right now. Loosen me right now. Loosen. Pastor, I hope I'm in decency and order. You call me on it if I'm not. Sis, I see pain. How old are you? 17 years old. You kind of could relate to what I'm talking about, couldn't you? You've been through hell in your life. Those tears, they get the best of me. There's a lot of preachers that are going to come preach in this pulpit that might not be able to relate to your story, but this is one that can. And I'm here to tell you, listen to me, young lady. Listen to me. You have been beaten, battered, and bruised all your life, and you're sitting in a church in De Quincy wondering, God, what is my future at 17 years old? I want these words to ring in your ears. You are not a failure. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you've done. Stop letting your flesh beat you up. Lift up your hands and call on the name of Jesus right now. You've got the power so strong inside of you. Let the power, you have authority and dominion when you call on his name that is so powerful. Let the Holy Ghost come down upon you like a...
I don't know why I'm doing this, and I'm probably going to get thrown out of here. Is there somebody over here that needs God to do a miracle in your life? Hold up one hand right now. You need God. Anybody over here needs God to do some kind of miracle? Come here. Come here, brother. We're going to make an altar call here in a minute. Come here. Come here. Just because. Come here. How old are you, man?
37, I see tears coming down your eyes. That's it. Stay with her. Stay with her. Come here. I see tears coming down your eyes. I don't know anything about you, but I guarantee there's a lot of people that seen a lot of things in you and want to label you and call you a quitter and why are you even here and you're never going to get victory. But I see truthful tears coming down your cheeks, and I don't think you can put that act on, my brother. And a lot of people may look at you on the outside and look at you and go, he ain't ever going to amount to nothing. He's just a rebellious man. But I'm here to tell the devil and every one of his helpers, it don't matter what people think about you. Watch him. We are an apostolic Holy Ghost filled church. We should not look at people and decide what they can and cannot be. When God gets a hold of them, the power of the Holy Ghost is so strong. I don't know why, but I can't get off this. Who needs something from God? Hold up your hand right now, please. Please hold up your hand. Come here, sis. Come here. I'm gonna make an altar call, I promise. But I feel this in the Holy Ghost, and I don't know. I think Pastor would have grabbed the mic if he didn't like this by now. Come here. Come here. I want you to lift up your hands. I preached. But you know what? Let me tell you something. Just lift up your hands in the Holy Ghost. DeQuincy, let me tell you something. We get labeled more than ever as crazy apostolic weirdos. People think we're different because we're not backing down on what we are. We are different because we speak in tongues and we baptize. And this young lady is under all sorts of torment and all sorts of pressure. And her Jacob says, I'm too different. I could just go hide out somewhere and be like everybody else. But I want you to lift up your hands, and I want you to look up to heaven right now, and I want you to call on the name of Jesus. You've got power and authority that when you call on the name of the... I want you to be loosened right now in the name of Jesus. Thou art loosened in the presence of the Holy Ghost. I bind every demon and every adversary. You have no authority over... Oh, that's it. Pray with her. The power of the Holy Ghost is beginning... Stay with her. I'm getting ready to make an altar call, but I'm not done because I feel I'm digging here. You need something from God over here, hold up one hand. You need, keep your hand up. You need something from God over here, hold up one hand. You need something from God in this section, hold up. We're going to have a breakthrough around here. You need something from God in this section, hold up your hand. I tell you what, we're going to do same time, because I don't want Brother Nealon not to have me back because I took too long. I want everybody that has a need, I want you to come.
Pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.